Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the Toolbox. We play songs about drinking, women, and gambling. Can I get a yeah? Right now, Sludge is out at the grand opening of the Circle K in Pacoima. Be one of the first 20 to kick Sludge in the nuts, and you can win a free can of Copenhagen. Right now, it's April Wine to quench your thirst on the Toolbox. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dennis Miller, and former skateboarder turned author, Brandon Novak. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, former unicycler turned author, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you over here. We love the fact that you find someone at work or a family member or someone, and you go, hey, man, check out the pod. It's free. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Two tits and a pulse.
Gina, please.
You're much more than that.
I had a couple things go on. It's kind of a weird, had a weird night. So,
started off strong.
In the glory of your Kimmel appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went and did Kimmel. I had my kids with me. I told you guys, or at least I said it on Kimmel, but I can't remember. You know, they were disappointed that I was the guest.
Aww.
Such a weird thing. Like, you're going to Uncle Jimmy's tomorrow? Yeah, I am. Who's the guest? Me. Aww. I think if you would like to, I often say, don't ever be rich and successful. Like, it just don't
done
bother.
And done.
And then everyone here's got the message loud and clear. Now, I told these guys about rinsing out their coffee mugs or about getting rid of the cobwebs in the front door and things of that nature. Nothing stuck. But the part about not being successful, they took that one and
loud
ran
and
with it.
We hear you, boss.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Working on every day.
And I think the stories that I'm going to illustrate in the next few minutes will just be the perfect, yeah, don't bother, because I had these two things happen. One is I told my kids, or at least my daughter and son, but mostly Natalia the day before, like, hey, I'm going to Kimmel. Well, I'm the guest. And he went like, which is the first part. That's sort of like the emotional part of being a celebrity. Like, oh, big whoop.
You know? Again.
And so you go, well, yeah, but when you go to Burbank Airport, somebody may want you to sign a picture of you doing your pig character from
Spanky Ham.
Together. And it's like, yeah, I do have to get to have an encounter with a fat guy in a ponytail and a goatee who wants me to sign Spanky Ham.
Those are the perks.
That's a perk, but that's fleeting. The lion's share of the people I spend time with are the ones that go, oh, yeah.
It's true.
So
these are the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah. So you may say, well, you got that celebrity thing going, but not 90% of the time. Most of it is just, a combination of, we went to In-N-Out. We didn't know if you wanted anything. Oh, did you get me a burger? Yeah. Well, you didn't know.
Aired on the side
okay.
of nothing.
All right.
Well, granted, it's only a couple hours today, but you got Gina. I mean, tell her that you're the guest on Kimmel tomorrow.
Right. I'm going to be the guest on Kimmel tomorrow.
Okay.
No.
No.
Damn it.
See what it feels like.
I couldn't do it.
So, I got the, and then later on in the evening when I was done shooting a thing with Oscar De La Hoya and Mickey Ward. Mickey Ward is the guy who they made the movie The Fighter after
Mark Wahlberg's character
and his brother. And they stopped before he got to his epic trilogy.
That was crazy. They made a great movie about a well-known person, but before they did their most well-known thing. Like, the movie took place before that.
Yes, yes. And I thought that was, I don't know, in a weird way, kind of gutsy.
Yeah,
kind of
totally,
weird,
totally
but
was.
But gutsy.
And effective.
And effective. Anyway, Gotti was the guy he had his epic battles with. The first fight was probably the best. It was epic battle. So we're doing this thing where Oscar De La Hoya and Mickey Ward and me and a host whose name escapes me, but sort of just the guy who's the host, we're going to break down the first Ward Gotti fight in its entirety. A slugfest, you know, battle beyond, you know, with some of them calling it the best fight ever, the best ninth round ever. This is crazy, sitting next to the guys having this complete war with this other guy up on my big screen at the other warehouse. Now, the reason I tell you never to get successful is then later on when we're leaving that night. So I had a pretty long day. I had podcasting during the day. I had Kimmel in the early evening. And then into the evening, I had this Ward Gotti battle breakdown with De La Hoya and company. And we're leaving the place at night. I still have my kids with me. And some woman, as everyone was fine, they must have had 30 people in this place. Crew, cameras, you know, blah, 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 blah. Big, big production. Multiple vans and trucks and blah, blah, blah. And as we're all filing out, there's a woman standing by the front door of my shop. Sort of sheepishly said, there's a guy sleeping on the porch. And I said, huh? And then I opened the porch and there was a dude sleeping on the porch. And he was just, you know, homeless dude, sawing logs. And I thought, normally I just step over everyone and leave, but there's a whole group of people that are going to be exiting this front door.
Oh, man.
We have surveillance footage of it. We'll put it up at adamcarolla.com. And there's a whole group of people that are leaving. So I give the guy a couple of light taps on the foot with my foot.
Is that an extendo middle finger?
A nudge. Yeah, I gave him a, hey, you got to.
Oh.
I just said to him, look, you got to move. Now, you understand, like, De La Hoya's girlfriend and the wives and the kids are there.
Right.
You know, and they're all going to be leaving, stepping past this guy. So I gave him a nudge on the foot and I said, hey, man, you got to move on. Like, go to the other door and take a nap. And he's like, fuck you.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, he's aggressive.
Yeah. Raising. And I said to him, look, you can just move over. There's going to be a lot of people leaving the building. He gave me the fuck you. You don't own me. What's going on in that building? You don't own that building. And I thought, it's perfect. It's a perfect life. It's a perfect life. All you do is fucking pay taxes. All you do is employ people. All you do is keep the lights on. And you got some guy just yelling, fuck you. You're not the boss of me. Fuck yourself. You can't. I can't move. The kids are terrified. At a certain point, I'm trying to tell him, there are people that are leaving this building and you're laying in front of the door they're leaving. You have to just get up and move. Just go to the other door opening that nobody uses and lay down there. But either way,
that is exceptionally reasonable because most people wouldn't even bother talking to them. Just go,
try the other wing of my property.
De La Hoya's girlfriend just walked past him. Like, I'm saying to
there's
the guy,
a steady stream of people, yeah, walking.
Oh my God, he's back, down.
Right. Yeah. So I say, what I always do, which is you can get up and you can go move 60 feet to the door that's not being used and you can lay down and then it'll be no problem. But I have a group of people coming in and out of here and you're laying in front of them. So you need to move. And he's like, fuck you. You don't own me. I'll kick your ass and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, then I'm going to call the cops and I'm going to have the cops show up and then the cops will move you. And he's like, fuck you. So I call the cops. And then, like every fucking other human being in this world, he's now pissed at me for calling the cops, right. which I love.
What's
like,
up,
fuck
bro?
You. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Poor guy's not in his right mind. But the brazen move, by the way, steadfastly refusing to move when several a parade of muscle-bound men are coming in, boxing associates and such.
You know what's weird? You know what's funny? The thing that's funny about it is he's not in his right mind, but he has an answer at the tip of his tongue for every single thing I say to him. It's not like I went, hey, you got to move, and he went, then just threw up. He's like, you got to move, douche. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to call the cops. You call the cops, I'll fuck your shit up. When the Mexican guys were going by, he was like speaking to them like in a Spanish vernacular, like, you know what I mean? Hey, Chota. Yeah, like literally like, hey, vato. Like when the Mexican guys were running, hey, vato. And like, he was pretty damn He's quick on his feet. He was a lot sharper than Doug Benson is when he does a lot of stand-up performances. So now he's up.
Natalia's hiding behind you.
Natalia's crying now, which is sad. And he gets up on his feet, and he's coming toward me now.
Oh, he's stumbling.
And he's stumbling. He's got his hands up, and I'm explaining him. And he smacks me in the hand, and he takes another paw at me. And now Natalia's bawling her eyes out, standing behind me. And I'm basically explaining, trying to explain to her that, good news, Mickey Ward and Oscar De La Hoya are standing next to us. They both have 150 fights combined, and one's got an Olympic gold medal for knocking people out.
This shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, my God.
And Daddy shall knock him out. I shall knock him out as well. I'm trying to not further traumatize the guy. Aww. Someone else comes over and hugs Natalia because someone from Oscar's camp came and is trying to explain to the guy. Now, the guy's agitated with me, so we need Henry Kissinger of the homeless to get involved. But hold on a second. Why exactly is he agitated at me again? Like, this is the whole world at this point. Like, hey, Rich Whitey, what are you doing kicking my foot? It's like, you fell asleep on my property. I asked you to simply move.
Move to the other door of my property.
Move to the other door.
Dude, this is the best case scenario for this guy because he is making unequivocally an aggressive move towards you.
He keeps walking forward.
He's approaching you. He's approaching. He's slapping your hand out of the way.
Stand down, bum.
Any reasonable person could have punched this guy with no repercussions.
Any reasonable person who has punched 10,000 people would punch him. And I should have, but I did not. There's two things.
This is the best case scenario for this guy.
I did not want to traumatize my daughter, who was standing behind me crying.
Anymore.
I did not. I was honestly picturing his head hitting the sidewalk, like whacking backwards and hitting the sidewalk, and this guy being like brain dead and all kinds of shit. And listen, I'm not bragging, but I can punch, and this guy was a sloppy mess,
he was
swinging at me, and I was actually thinking, I'm going to throw a hard right cross to his body and just buckle him. And I don't want to hit him in the head, smash his orbital socket or something. But I will fucking hit this guy in the body, and it will taco him, and he will drop. Well, also, I've been talking to Mickey Ward for 10 rounds about vicious body shots.
Tweaking your moves.
You watch the Ward-Gotti fight, Ward is throwing the wicked body shots, and that's what won the fight. So it was a lot of hot body shot talk. Anyway. But the comedy, and I don't know, Max Pat, I think at some point Natalia was like filming this guy, so we might have a little audio we can throw.
Multiple angles.
The guy got up, he walked toward me, and he got aggressive. You know, I put my hand out, like, stand back, and he was whacking. Now, look, I'm not some pussy, and I don't make a big deal. I was assaulted. He took good hard whacks at my hand
that was
extended. He did not injure me, but he did hit me with what was his might. You know, all right. Do we have any Natalia here? These are I haven't watched.
Well, I'm guessing 1830.
Urgent, my fucking home, man. Hey, puto.
We called the Mexican guys puto.
Oh, that's not a compliment.
What I'm saying is like out of his mind, but out of his mind that he recognized every guy at night that had that skin was a shade darker than mine and called them puto when they left the place. Out of his mind, but like, full of questions and quick retorts and insults, like out of his mind, except for pretty sharp and lucid with every answer, which is a weird part of being crazy, right?
You just come from improv class. I mean,
Yes, and puto.
Yeah. All right. There's another one I think when we're standing up, Max Pata can take a look. I want to thank Simply Safe for this half of the show and Castrol Edge for this half of the show and Making It, NBC for this half of the show, and we'll tell you about them in a minute. Dennis Miller's going to be on, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. But anyway.
More footage.
I was going to say.
So Natalia, I think, pulled the phone out. I had the phone out, but I was doing... It was funny. Like, Lynette was funny. She was a little disappointed. She was like, you called 911? Because I have three things in my life. I never buy lottery tickets. I'll never learn how to make a tie. And I've never called 911. I'll just never call 911.
Weird points of pride.
But I was like... The guy was sleeping in front of the door. The guy was standing in front of the door that all the women and all the guys were walking out of, and he was confronting them. I don't know what else to do at this point. I must call 911 because he needs to just physically move.
Yeah.
I didn't care if he went to the other door and lay down. I don't care if he walked down the sidewalk 20 feet or walked the other way 20 feet. He just needed
to
not.
Else.
He was terrorizing the people that were, including my kids. Yes. Who were trying to get in and out. I didn't want to take the kids or just throw them in the car and speed away right. because I felt responsible for the other guests who were leaving my facility.
That's reasonable.
So I had no choice at this point. Of course, after asking him to move seven times, I had no choice but to call 911. And I love it. I love it. He took great umbrage at that move.
How dare
he wasn't pleased.
Do you have the other, monocle.
Do you have anything else?
Yeah, we have two more videos.
Okay, we'll play.
Sober, mostly.
They're fucking putos.
Called you a cucumber, Oscar.
It's a callback to Peppino. Anyway. And then is there one more? Sorry. Now, at some point, he got up on his feet and was moving around. And that's when it became a little weird. It's weird when a guy's walking toward you and he's out of his mind because
lurching
you don't.
You.
He's already told he's going to fuck you up, and now he's walking at you, and his hands are out, and you're like, I got my daughter behind me. Like,
where's this going to go?
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. You got a third?
No. That's the last one. The other video is just a mess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
Natalia needs some World Star tutorials here.
At least
did she scream World Star hip hop?
Well, she
at
was
any
like
point?
Crying.
But you better move out.
Yeah, I said move out.
Natalia
you know? And it's
terrible.
Like you better move out, puto. Like Jesus Christ.
Oh, you're right.
Did you get a homeless vibe from him, or just a wasted out of his mind vibe? I'm looking at the guy. He's like, well,
I got a little bit of each. It's hard to tell. The thing that's comical about the whole thing, and then I'll, and also it's now we've now moved over.
Oh, this is earlier in the day when sunlight.
We're watching him walking down the street looking for a place to place to land. He's a little jacked up.
Yeah,
he's having trouble negotiating the step.
Yeah, he's gonna go sleep it off.
Yeah, we have him setting up camp right here.
All right,
he's taking it in, seeing if it.
Now,
if
look,
it fits his highness's standards.
I feel sorry for the guy, but here's the deal, City of Glendale and City of Los Angeles. Look, man, we got a whole bunch of taxpayers trying to get you more revenue inside this building by working my third job today. In return, you need to work on this problem.
Yeah.
Because it's literally... It used to be a sort of eyesore nuisance. Now it's literally becoming a stumbling block. People aren't wanting to get out of their cars. People aren't going to... What do I tell these guys next time we want to shoot one of these? Hey, come on over to the shop. We'll do it at our place at Golden Boy. You come out, you come to us, right?
Yeah.
It's a fucking mess. It's a mess. And...
we got a new doorman.
Garcetti... I know it's his number one priority, but he should maybe make it one, two, and three because it's spilling into the valley. It's it'll do what it'll do. It'll be in the city. It used to be Skid Row. Then it spilled into the rest of downtown. Then it spilled into West Hollywood. Then it spilled into Santa Monica. Now it's spilling into the valley. It'll just spill in because it's a homeless problem that is not going to go away.
It's not being addressed.
It is not
properly.
Being addressed
so
properly.
Did the cops show up?
To the cops,
did they end up coming?
It's funny how 911 operators are sort of like your mom on their last nerve. Like when you're a kid in the kitchen and you've asked them the same thing three times, they're like, I'm on the phone with her and she's like, what's the address? Like, here's the address. What's the age of the man? Here's the age. What's approximate age? What's he wearing? Okay, here's what he's wearing. Then at a certain point, he's coming at me, swatting my hand, and I'm like, hey, back off. And she's like,
sir,
I asked you what your mom's maiden name was. And I'm like, yeah, I got a guy in front of me. He's throwing punches.
Sending him off.
And she's like, okay, but I'm asking you for a third time. And I'm like, okay, sweetie. Understand, I'm not sitting in a hot tub going, you know that floating thing that disperses the chlorine tablets? I'm not seeing it. And my daiquiri's not, I wouldn't call it low, but it's getting there. Like, I'm fighting on a sidewalk with a homeless guy.
My daughter, my 12-year-old behind me.
While I'm simultaneously trying to answer your litany of questions. So pardon me if there's some interruptions here when I defend myself for a second. Like, she's like,
your children.
Hello, I'm asking you. It's funny. They're all kind of short that way. I get it. They have a job where they have an impacted asshole of everything all the time. But it's still kind of like... There is a crazy person who's attacking me and my family.
So this is to me,
there's going to be little interruptions here.
I will be most eloquent.
Yes. So, yes, that is the new world order. You just pay and then you have to deal with shit. Now, the cops rolled up fast, which I'm happy to say. They rolled up very quickly.
They looked at the guy and pointed at you and said, is this guy bothering you, sir?
No. Once everyone had cleared out of the building and once my kids were sort of behind me and stuff, I was like, go ahead. The cops will show up when the cops show up and you'll be here or you won't be here, but I'm going home. I've had a fucking long day, and my kids are scared. They're having trouble with the context of the whole thing.
Sure.
It's just big dude, angry dude, and he's yelling.
Yeah.
And
then there's a homeless guy.
Yes, and then there's the other guy. And then there's the guy with the beard. So I just go, look, get in the car. We get in the car, and they're like, lock the doors, you know. They literally said, lock the doors, you know. My son was kind of having fun at a certain point. He was like, hey, that guy's got Olympic gold medal for boxing.
Yep.
And then the other guy's Mickey Ward.
So, I'm gonna see what they can do.
He picked the homeless guy picked the wrong fucking group to fuck with. But either way, we just got in the car.
Puto?
And as we took off, saw a cop car pass us as we took off. I pulled a U-turn, which was like, man, I think I can get away with this in this particular case. The cop car had pulled up on the guy. I pulled up, like rolled the window down and just went, that's the guy. Do whatever you got to do, which I'm sure is nothing. But they showed up post-haste. So they got there quickly. And I was glad to see that. But we're going to have to do something. That's all. Funny time over at Kimmel's. So I went over to Kimmel's. I brought the kids. They were disappointed that I was a guest.
Just another day in Hollywood, fights and late night talk show appearances.
Absolutely.
Actually, to make it worse, to your point, when Natalia was here and we were chit chatting, she pulled me aside to ask me if I knew who the guest was going to be.
Yeah,
it was it both ways.
Yeah, we were looking it up in the back, and she's like, "Oh, who are the other guests?" And I named them, and then she's like, "Oh, I don't know who they are." It's like, "Yeah, well, your dad's the lead guest," and she looks at me, "He's the lead guest?"
Yeah.
So disappointing.
She yelled, "Fire the Booker." As loud as she could. Said that Rolodex didn't run deep at all. So then we got there and we went down and we were in the basement. Then we went up to makeup and then we went up to the top and said hi to Uncle Jimmy and hung out. He's sweet and is accommodating. He's great. He's the best. He's the best with the kids. The best. And then we went down and they were going to stand in the pit with the camera and the producers. And everyone's the sweetest. Everyone's the best. It's all sort of trickle-down effect from Jimmy. But
like
Jimmy's
family.
All about family and all about whatever. And anyone who shows up, their kids have to be treated great and all the family members have to be treated great and everything else. But then my daughter said, who's the guest for Monday? And they said, Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
And she went, oh, yeah. And I went, oh, shit. And then they went, Dad, Monday, we're back for Kardashian. And I'm like, oh, it really, there's so many names it could have been that my daughter wouldn't have won, whatever.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
Harrison Ford.
Anybody but Kim Kardashian. So now my daughter like locked it on and then she locked it on and then she was talking to everyone else there like, hey, can I come back on Monday? And they're like, sure, come back on Monday. Absolutely come back on Monday. And it's like, oh, fuck. Now it's like somehow incumbent, like I got to make, I have to make it up to her for me being the guest.
Yeah.
Like I owe her that.
Yeah, this is the make-up.
Like
we all,
her day.
We all remember when you were a kid and your dad would be the lead guest on the Mike Douglas show and you were devastated.
Yeah. Yep.
So then he had to make it up because
Howard was on Monday.
Yeah. Burke Bacharach was the guest, next guest. And
well done.
You needed to see. Anyway. he owed you because he was the lead guest on Mike Douglas, and you were devastated. Yeah.
She needed to see a celebrity.
Dad had to make good.
So now we got Kim Kardashian on Monday, and that's now my daughter's filled with Kim. Okay, who's taking me? All right. Oh, no. Diane and the other girls. Oh, Aaron said, oh, no, they said we were coming back. Now, how am I getting back? Jesus Christ. All right. Dennis Miller's going to be on the phone in 1 second. We will play Rotten Tomatoes. Tell you about Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Simply Safe. Today's show brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Ever looked for a security system? Too complicated, too expensive, with terrible contracts. Simply Safe. What home security should be. Great protection, ridiculously easy to use, at a great price. We all have it here. Engineered to keep on working during power outages, down Wi-Fi, burglars, smash your keypads, all designed to stay out of your way. And you'll never even notice it. It's up and running in under an hour. The batteries last 10 years. Peel and stick, pop it up. If you move like Dawson did from his apartment to his home,
peel it off, put it back on.
Take it with you, man. Order Simply Safe Security System today. And Simply Safe will also donate one to a family in need. But you have to go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. They'll donate one to a family in need in these bad neighborhoods. Or, I don't know, there are no good neighborhoods here anymore. There's just homeless, crazy homeless people everywhere. All right. Miller is not picking up, so it says.
Yeah, we're trying.
We'll try. If he does not pick up, we will then just roll into Rotten Tomatoes. But I'll buy us a little more time. So the comedy, if you want to know why not to be the boss.
We need more reasons.
I literally yelled at my nephew about 40 minutes ago, get your shit together or I will fire your ass, because he's been there for 3 weeks and he's dropped the ball a couple times. Dennis is online too now. All right, remind me. I shall circle back to my push broom story. Dennis Miller.
Jeez, Ace, you know, when you light the nephew up, that gets the attention of the whole staff. They know you're a serious guy. That's right out of Michael Corleone's textbook.
You know what gets the boss extra pissy? When he shows up and goes, where's the guy I want to yell at? And they go, oh, he's late. Oh. I go, oh, good, I have something else to yell at him about.
That's the power of 10. That's like going to hyperspace on how pissed off you are. He's not here to be ridiculed. He's late.
When he's done oversleeping, you can yell at him.
There you go.
Dennis Miller, the Dennis Miller option, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. It is unbelievable what's going on in this society out here. I was just yelling about a homeless guy that was asleep on my porch of my studio last night. Imagine you don't have a whole lot of homeless in your neck of the woods, Dennis, but you tell me. I feel like anywhere the weather's fine, they're starting to figure it out, right?
Well, you know, up where I live, they're called estateless. I give. Well, he does have a bit of a home. It's on your front porch. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's a lot of heartache in the world, and I am very big on separating out the heartache that is forced on somebody from the heartache that is chosen by, let's say, a nephew who continues to sleep in. At some point, we have to really start separating the wheat from the chaff. I can't tell if every homeless guy I meet is a heartache or somebody along the way says, screw this, I'm going to give up, get some benefits. You know, you always read these stories about what people make on the street, and I'm just sort of going to glide and get loaded. I really need to know before I can open my heart up to somebody. So when you tell me about the cat on the porch, I don't know how to feel. I'd have to do a little bit. I'd have to vet him and, you know, figure out what you probably have a good bullshit detector. What do you make of the cat? Is the
I figured out a few years ago when I was in Portland, which is home of the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
that there's a new breed of homeless cat. You know, when we grew up, it was sort of hobo riding the rails, right, making soup with a shoe.
Bindle stick. It,
yeah. Now it's like there's a kind of in between. I was like walking through Portland and I had a guy, you know, like 30-something-year-old, 40-something-year-old guy, like come up to me with an Izod shirt and a popped collar. It's like, hey, man, got any money? Like, could I have a dollar? And I was like, well, a dollar? And he went, oh, hey, man, show. Hey, man. And I was like, you have basic cable or you had basic cable? Like, you don't seem very homeless. And there's a whole new breed of cat, which is, you know, that sort of theory where, hey, if you just ask 100 girls if they want to come home with you that night, maybe one of them will. Like, statistically, you just ask 100 taxpayers for a dollar. I bet you could get enough money to go to the Golden Corral tonight. Like, if that's...
Volume.
Volume. Just volume. Yeah, this guy's just walking around asking for money.
And I agree with you. If you're a guard going out into the field to ask money from strangers, it's probably not best to have designer clothing. Probably, if you are going to wear the Lacoste shirt, you should have the alligator flipped upside down.
Yeah, or at least La Tigra.
Seinfeld used to say... Jerry used to always do that great joke when you go to the alligator cage at the zoo and they always tell you, stand back, this thing's dangerous. And he's there. And then I notice on his snout, he's got a lit cigarette and a buffalo head nickel from the year 1902. And I'm thinking, how dangerous can this creature be if he's now moving away from the burning cigarette box?
The thing that's crazy about whenever you do go see the crocodiles and alligators at the zoo is, they don't physically move at all, but they don't have a dimmer switch. They either have completely dead logs or pulling a gazelle into the river, but they just don't have a kind of a jogging pace. You know what I mean? You've never seen a crocodile jog or like, how would you see a crocodile? Was he moving? Yeah. He didn't seem like he had anywhere to go, but he was moving.
Yeah, strolling. More of a stroll.
They don't canter.
Right. They do not canter. All right, are you ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game, Dennis Miller? And I feel like you're getting better every week.
Yeah, but Ace, where I started, for God's sake, you asked me if I ever saw Lawrence of Arabia, and I didn't even know it was a movie. So I've got great room to grow here. Let's give it a try this week.
All right, here we go. Oh, no. The wrong one.
Sorry about that. Was that your nephew running the board?
might be soon.
It will be, yeah. Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, this past weekend, Mission Impossible Fallout hit theaters. So in honor of the franchise's sixth film, our theme today is built off the cast of Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout's villain, Henry, is it Cavill?
Cavill, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He played a superhero once who refused to kill, but was fine leveling entire cities. In 2013's Superman, Man of Steel.
Hmm. So they like this Superman, I think, but I don't remember them loving it. I think I saw this thing. You say date? Sorry, Dawson, of the movie.
This was in 2013.
Oh, maybe I didn't see this one. Maybe I saw the one before.
The Brandon Routh movie, directed by Usual Suspects guy.
Usual Suspects guy. So did they? Okay. Is this the one where he saved the airplane down?
That's the Bryan Singer movie, which is underrated. Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. I like that movie.
The one before it.
Yeah, that's the one you're thinking.
Yeah, okay. So I didn't see this movie. Yeah.
No, Kevin Cavill, this one came 8 years later or so, and this one was directed by Zack Snyder with Henry Cavill.
All right. Do not know. Am going to go...
I hate this movie.
Oh,
don't
God.
Listen to him.
Don't listen to him.
I really do.
Cares.
Can't tell if this one's bad or not. 61.
Yeah, you're probably pretty close. I said 70, and usually these huge event movies, this is a big deal coming, kind of end up in that 70 to 72 range, so I said 70.
Sorry, I was supposed to lock Dennis in before I gave it away.
Finally, Dennis hates this.
Finally, I get some breadcrumbs. I'm always out here playing pilot fish and getting my ass handed to me. Now I know you're 61 and he's 70. I can dial it in. But you know what they say about Henry Cavill's work? People are always going to cavil about it. They're always going to have unnecessary objections.
Well said.
61 and 70, I'm going right in the middle now that I have a little data. Thanks for slipping up.
This shan't happen again, Dennis. Go ahead.
65.
Right. You said it, you thought it was between 70 and 72, Brian. I went 72.
Uh-huh.
Superman Man of Steel is rotten at 55%.
Ooh. Audience had it at 75.
I'm quietly satisfied with my incorrect score. It really sucks.
All right. I will keep it to myself this time. Here we go.
All right. Your buddy Alec Baldwin also is in Mission Impossible Fallout.
In
2006, he was in an all-star cast, along with Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Mark Wahlberg. In 2006, The Departed.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good, but the problem is that then you compare it to Casino and Goodfellas, and then it's not that good.
It's also
but
a
it's
remake
still
of a Japanese movie. So the critics factored that in one way or the other.
But
people would not shut up about this movie for months when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Korean.
A twist.
Gonna go
Asian movie.
Okay, I'm locked in. Dennis Miller, how say you?
I'm going to say that in some way by Scorsese not winning for either Goodfellas or Raging Bull, he then, in addition to being a film genius, has stumbled into this thing where maybe they get overpraised a little bit on the back end since then. Like I saw The Aviator, I remember thinking, God, this is a little too gushy for me. But I'd say he gets good numbers by and large because, as I said, great filmmaker. People are willing to that. Say 88.
Yeah, this is one that everyone can agree was good. It won Best Picture. I think it was the only movie he's made that won Best Picture. I said 94.
I said 86. I didn't know. I ticked it down a couple of points.
Yeah, I didn't see it until way after the buzz was gone, so I was a little underwhelmed. But people went insane over this. I said 90.
Nobody gets too stung here. Nobody gets too stung. We're all in the same ballpark.
Somebody gets a little honey.
Wow.
The Departed is certified fresh at 90%.
Yes! Wow. I needed
Damn
that.
It.
Thank God. You.
All right.
Is there a bonus point? I don't know the rule book.
Bonus five points.
You get a minus five.
Dennis, I believe we sent out the laminate you keep in your wallet that has the tipping percentage on one side and then the rules to the Rotten Tomatoes game on the other. So if you could just reference that, we could save the embarrassment of you asking.
With a daily affirmation.
Right. Now, it's a 5-point deduction for getting it right on.
Beautiful.
Okay. Here
Next
we
up,
go.
Back in.
Chris Pine asks Fallout star Simon Pegg to beam him up in 2009's J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Trek.
2009. Now, I think people like these Star Treks.
Like
I don't watch them because they have the word Star and Trek in them, and I try to avoid any of that. I remember when I was a kid and they'd run Star Trek reruns and I'd be like 11 and I'd be thinking, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I remember it looked horrible to me when I was 11. Like, this is horrible, I would think.
Well, if you like lens flares, this was the movie for you.
Oh, really?
Very highly stylized.
I was like, can we get back to some Felix the Cat so I can enjoy myself? You have to understand, I think the lion's share of the reviewers are sort of nerdy and probably like this kind of thing.
Yep.
So I feel pretty strongly about it. But how good was it?
Definitely hit a sweet spot.
Dennis Miller, how say you?
By the way, what the fuck is this shit? Is the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane for 16-year-old guys? It's like some sort of mantra that you practice diphthongs on. Listen, there's a lot of these star films, and there's so many now that, to me, Star Trek and Star Wars have become one. Oddly enough, they used to keep them so bifurcated, they seem like one franchise now. And there's so many of them, I can't even remember what this one was. But I did see the new Star Wars, this week's Star Wars, where Chewbacca's second cousin Ernie, who's an insurance fraud investigator in Oakland, bust up a big ring. And it's getting, the concept's getting a little low. I'm going to say that Star Trek first one with Chris Pine, I remember that doing well, and I'm going to say 79.
I said 89.
I just remember the score being much higher than I thought it was going to be. So I said, also, Eric Bana, the villain in this one, and Leonard Nimoy makes a cameo appearance. It's very distracting.
And Benedict Cumberbatch, right? Or is that?
Yeah, that was the next one. Oh, it was Khan.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 91.
Ooh, I said 88. I think people loved this movie.
Star Trek is certified fresh at 94.
Damn!
People had it at 91.
Ridiculous.
That's too high, right?
That's absurd.
Right. So,
by the way, how many cameos can you make before it's no longer a cameo?
Thank you.
I mean, you know, well, let's face facts. Spock's on his 543rd cameo.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, but this is what you get, I think, if you have, you know, you take, I like the movie Rush by Ron Howard. I felt it was like a little underrated, okay. And I liked the personal stories in it. But anyway, it's a car thing. It's not a Star Trek thing. And I think there's a little, I think you drop off a couple of points thematically. This thing shouldn't be 94. It shouldn't be higher than Goodfellas or whatever.
It was right place, right time.
You have the people that are doing the reviewing are fans of the genre and sort of rooting for it. So
J.J. Abrams,
if you're,
Lost.
If you're sort of rooting for something versus, not my cup of tea, then it's gonna trickle up. Yep. It's weird that you have a movie like this that's higher than the people have it, and the people are 91. But all right, here we go.
Next up.
This is a close game thus far. Yes.
Rebecca Ferguson, who I hear Max Apata has a major crush on, stars as the female lead in Fallout.
You just like her because of her exotic name. Who's Rebecca Ferguson?
Is she that foxy British chick?
Is that her real name?
We've gone from Star Trek 1 with Persis Cambetta to, what is this one?
Rebecca Ferguson.
She stars as the female lead in Fallout, but she was also the female lead along Michael Fassbender in a thriller about a killer who, after he killed people, he built a snowman. The movie, aptly titled The Snowman, from 2017.
By the way, it's obvious why Chris likes her. She looks just like your girlfriend. Very attractive lady.
Nice.
Win-win.
All right. Did not see this movie.
The Snowman.
Do you have no idea? No idea. Now, what we've been doing for the past few offerings is we've all had the idea that that's 80 plus, that's 80 plus. So we've all been dealing with these margins, 3 or 4 points up or down. And that's why everything is all knotted up. I have no idea. Ed, Brian, any thoughts about this movie? Did you see it?
You want to mislead us on?
Yes. I'll tell you this. I'll tease it. Dawson, what year did this come out?
2017.
In fall of 2017, on the Film Vault, we did our top 5 movies we're most looking forward to that fall. This was my number one.
Okay.
And I did not see it.
Oh.
Possibly because of the Rotten Tomatoes score.
You must have heard things that were not good about it. I don't,
didn't get positive reviews.
I don't know what this thing is. I did not hear. It's a year old. And I've never really heard anything about it. So I'm going to lock my stuff in here based on that. But again, are we in the 20s? Yeah, are we in the 60s? You know, I'm going to say. Okay.
I'm going to probe for a little more info. What's the name of the film again?
Snowman.
Yeah.
Snowman with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Which, by the way, means using a smartphone and going to Rotten Tomatoes.
It's Michael Fassbender.
Oh, sorry about that.
And also featuring a J.K. Simmons and Val Kilmer.
Still had that in my mind.
Brian, at least pretend like you're not leading us astray.
I know.
This is one of those films, the more I hear about it, the less I know. The Snowman. Let's see. Well, Snowman, Cumberbatch is going to keep it from going too far.
Yeah, Fassbender. Same. I think they're the same guy.
Tom Hiddleston.
I think they're the same guy.
They all make the same person.
Joel Edgerton.
All right.
Fassbender, the guy who played Steven Jobs for a while.
Yes.
Lock it in, Dennis.
I'm just trying to think. Fassbender. This isn't the Fassbender film where he was naked, right?
The big schlong guy, no.
No, that's shame.
That's somebody else? Oh, I'm guessing. Jeez, well, I got to go first. I'm going to say 31.
You don't have to go first. We've all locked our answers in.
Our pencils are down.
Yes.
I'm 31.
All right. I went 41.
I went 18.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I might be too low. I don't know the answer to this one.
I was too kind. I said 42.
When this movie was delivered by Netflix DVD, I opened it up, went to the Rotten Tomatoes page, put it back in the DVD sleeve, and right back into the mail.
Personal
wow.
Review.
The Snowman is rotten at 8%.
Wow! Wait a second. Do you guys know when you play golf and you get an 8?
It's a snowman.
Snowman.
A snowman.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
That is so funny. And I actually had that thought, and I said, no, nothing could be rated 8. But I did have that thought, snowman, why don't you say 8? And then I didn't because I don't want to be clever. So 31, but I'm in there. Oh, I beat a couple people there.
Oh, yeah.
I think my negative 5 is ruined now.
Well, it's still kind of a close game. Brian, though, picked up a lot of points on that one, but he could have used a few. Yeah. And, you know, the thing, I don't think there's ever been a single-digit movie where the combined cast score was that much higher. I mean, this thing is filled with talented actors
absolutely.
Who are known for doing fantastic work and being parts of great pieces of work.
Yeah, if you said Michael Fassbender stars in an 8% movie, like headlines, I'd be like, no, he doesn't.
Is there any part of you that wants to see it now that you know it's 8?
I want to see it more than if it was like 25%.
Me too.
More than if it was like 25. No.
I didn't know you could.
I'm going to go read Lars von Trier's Instagram.
I didn't know you could do movies like this with this kind of cast and get below 20.
Yes, like it's a thriller, mystery thriller.
Wow. Yeah, with that cast. All right, here we go. Last one.
Last one. Ving Rhames is also in this Fallout movie. And back in 1993, he starred in a film that sees Kevin Kline doing double duty, playing both the head of an employment agency and a decoy for the President of the United States. The movie is 1995's Dave.
Dave, yes.
This is a nice romp.
Harold Ramis? Ivan Reitman?
I feel like I could be.
Ivan Reitman directed it.
I could be 10, 12 points off anything here, so I might have to get a little aggressive one way or the other.
Quirky.
I remember seeing the movie. I remember it being sort of sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
But it's kind of hard to tell if it moved the needle. Let's see.
Did this come out around Moons Over Peridor? Was this kind of a theme?
Probably after that, but there was a lot of King Ralph.
Right,
you look just like the guy from Tarsnia.
Boy, this is an inside baseball crowd where you can throw out Dave and get Moon Over Peridor. King Ralph. This is a movie-watching crowd.
I feel the same way with made-up countries that I do when the kids from 90210 go off to California College.
Yeah,
like, just pick a fucking college that we've heard of and just say it. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead and pick some banana third world whatever, Hollywood, and make King Ralph. What are they going
to
do?
It doesn't have to be Zamunda.
Right. Immediately when you see a commercial where they're using football as a vehicle to sell the product, but they haven't been able to ante up for an actual NFL team, and they've all got generic helmets, you think this must be a crap product, or they'd have a logo on it.
Right. Hey, those look like the Argonauts playing the Eskimos in the background. Yes. All right. Let's see. I'm going to be aggressive here.
Take a bold stab. Well, Dennis.
All right. Here we go, Dennis.
I like this film. I do remember it being sweet, but I also remember it being well done, and I thought Kline was great in it. And so I'm going to go on my heart here and give it an 80. 80.
Mm.
Mm. I have no idea if this is good or bad. I've never seen it. So I played it safe and said 66.
I went really aggressive and went 91. Because I figure this is an 80 type film, and I'm going to hope that it's 90. I hope that it's up.
Okay.
I have no idea, but sweet and cute doesn't really move the needle a lot of times in this game. I said 59.
Mm. Dave, certified fresh.
Shit.
Oh. 95%.
No way!
Yes!
No! I was up by 29 points.
No way.
Wow.
People had it at 71. See, it was like, I may have snatched that one.
Did I tell you I have numeric dyslexia?
Oh, you meant 95.
I'm just so glad I might not finish last for 1 week. That's
I don't even think I'm in the room.
So much intrigue on that last one. You picked up a 25-point swing.
I will say this. I lay out my strategy aloud every time, and it never, ever works. That was the one time where I thought it was a, like 75 to 80 film, but if everyone went 75 to 80, then I was going to lose. Yeah. So I just went exceedingly high, hoping the audience went for it. Ooh. No one thinks that's a 95.
Atlanta.
Damn.
You know what, Ace? That's like playing Scrabble towards the end when anybody has a few letters left and you just got, you put AX down and it didn't quite reach triple word score, and then you threw an A down and spelled axe that way and got triple word score at the end and pulled 29 points at the very end of a Scrabble game, which you just did.
Now you sound like the homeless guy shoot off my porch last night. But go ahead.
Hold on, Dennis. Adam, that's how you play Scrabble.
I've never played Scrabble day in my life.
Oh, okay.
It'd be a real nightmare for him.
I had this funny thing, which is I was sitting with Kimmel's segment producer, Ken. Yeah, he always produces my segments. I was on last night, and we were having a laugh because one of the things we're pitching him for my stand-up special is what a horrible speller I am. And Ken just like looked at me so defeated, and he's like, do you know how many times I've presented something to Jimmy? Like, he produces segments. Like, okay, he wants to talk about this. And it always comes back with words circled and misspelled and arrows and stuff. It's not like he's turning it in to be bound and published. He's sending
an
email.
Internal memo, essentially.
Right, and he wrote there the wrong way, and Jimmy will circle it and just send it back.
Good.
He was completely defeated by it. I was like, I had to share an office with that asshole for 5 years while he just corrected every single piece of grammar, punctuation, and everything. And I am the worst. Ken, at least, is passable. But he's like, Ken was on his 13th year of having words circled and handed back to him.
Oh, my God. The idea of Jimmy Kimmel as Professor Kingsfield, the paper chase, is uproarious.
All right, Dawson, I'm feeling good.
Oh, no.
The big question on everyone's mind is, did Dennis Miller make the podium? The answer to that is... Yes.
That does not bode well for me.
A third place finish for Dennis Miller with a score of 65. Who's off? Gina Grad.
Yeah, I knew it.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely do you get the five-point deduction.
It was the snowman.
The 88, double snowman.
Crap.
9 points separates Adam and Brian. Paul Brian... Congratulations on beating Dennis Miller. The win goes to Ace, 52 to Brian's 61.
Wow. Had a lot to make up that lad. A good
action
18
packed.
Points to make up on that last one or
I
so.
See Dave.
It was cute, but it doesn't feel like 90s, but it's one of these
says
things.
Says the guy who guessed 91. 95,
no,
right?
I would have
so
never.
Haunted. I am haunted that I thought on the snowman, I said, golf score, 8, and passed on. I feel like Robin Williams dropping the pass in that high school football game. He was haunted. I'll be haunted by that forever, that I didn't say 8. It would have been the coolest move. But listen, I could be faking it now and saying, making that up. I didn't do it. So there's life, right?
Yeah. I beg you not to share that with your wife. Because that would fall under the heading of one of my things where I'd rush into the kitchen and go, oh my God, I was playing this game called Rotten Tomatoes. What's that?
There's a website.
There's this movie called The Snowman. Yeah, I never heard of it. The Falcon and the Snowman? No. Anyway, you know in golf when you get, okay, but listen, it was freaky. Like, it'll never work.
Levels of explanation.
It'll only work on us.
The low moment of my 30 years of marriage is having Dancing with the Stars on one night while my wife's reading in bed and I'm sitting watching, and I said to her, honey, I think Bruno Tommioli's got a new scoring paddle. She says, if you ever say that again, I'm leaving you.
The Dennis Miller option, you can find on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Thanks, Dennis. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Have a nice week.
Love me some Dennis Miller.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
All right. Let me tell you.
That's rough.
Well, there is a certain... theory. Remember, everybody, this isn't Dave is not a 90s movie. It's a movie where 95% of the people gave it 60 or more, or 59 or more. So that was a movie, not a great movie, but nothing to dislike everyone about it. So everyone was
they liked it enough.
I give it a C plus.
Right.
If everyone gives it a C plus, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And you have to sort of think of those innocuous style nice movies, wow. Klein and Sigourney Weaver, everyone's likable, that they may just get pushed on through. You know what I mean? All right, let me tell you about Making It. That is tomorrow, NBC. Parks and Rec stars Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman are crafting television's ultimate creative competition. I feel like I should have at least been a creative consultant on this. Eight talented artists will compete for $100,000. Nick's a master carpenter. He's a master woodworker. Actually, I'm a master carpenter. He's a master woodworker. And Amy, what she lacks in crafting experience, she makes up for with enthusiasm. It'll be the funniest crafting competition on TV. If you loved Amy and Nick together in Parks and Rec, you're going to love them on Making It. Do not miss the premiere of Making It, hosted by the aforementioned Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, after America's Got Talent, tomorrow, July 31st. Set that DVR, July 31st on NBC. It's Making It. All right, our guest, Brandon Novak, is here. We'll talk about him in a minute. It's a very interesting story. I will tell you, when I was yelling at my nephew.
Oh, yeah.
So I had this thing. Let me give everybody the 411.
Sure.
Do people even dial 411
anymore? No.
All right, only me. One. I'm the only one that dials 411
and 911. Apparently,
yeah. I like the 11s.
311 if there's graffiti.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
City services.
I will give you what the boss likes and what the boss doesn't like. And again, look no further than Kimmel circling misspellings and handing them back to Ken, the segment producer. Even though these things will never see, no one will ever see this. But Ken, the boss man, is sort of detail oriented. He's not that. There's a weird thing. The boss man is portrayed in movies as a guy who's out of touch, doesn't know what's going on. You know, everyone's down in the mailroom, the nuts and the bolts, the inner working. And then he's sort of there.
He's pouring himself a brandy or whiskey or whatever.
Right. And looking at golf clubs that he wants to buy.
Spinning his globe.
Yeah. He's in his office putting.
If he's even at the office.
If he's even there. I don't know why that's our portrayal of the boss. The boss knows what's going on and is very detail-oriented. That's how he became the boss. Right. So when he asks for something, or when he suggests something, or he makes a proclamation, he needs that to happen. And there isn't a part where you go, hey, do this, and then you go, all right, moving on. We'll I'm going to go get drunk and practice my putting. Oh, no. There shall be... You know, when Jimmy circles Ken's spelling and says it's wrong and hands it back to him, he doesn't want to see that same word misspelled the next time. Probably just because it bothered it. The boss gets bumped pretty easily. And then also, he'd like to see you progress. Like, you misspelled the word this time. Now don't do it next time.
How long has Ken been a segment producer there?
13 years.
I think it's since he's been there. Like, I feel like he's always been my segment producer.
So is Kimmel trying to get him to improve, or is it a sadistic, you know what I mean?
OCD.
Sadistic.
No, well, not sadistic, but you know, you're flogging the guy, but you know what I'm saying.
Here's what I think. If you said to me, like, something I know, if you said... anyway, we were finishing the door and we just trimmed it out with the baseboard and we were moving on to doing the knob. I'd go, casing. The casing goes around the door. The baseboard's at the base and that's case. Base and case. I wouldn't let it go. Like, I'd have to kind of just chime in. And if someone said something about the way food was prepared... You might have some thoughts.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If I said
poached instead of broasted or something.
Pale ale is real hoppy. It's actually an IPA.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm saying, you know the things.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I know exactly what you're
saying. For him, unfortunately for Ken, spelling is Jimmy's thing. So he can't.
Can't fake it.
We couldn't. There's an audio version of this.
I notice spelling errors every single day on the holding up the bios, and I don't say anything, but it drives me insane.
Right. Okay.
You know, if it's a thing you notice, if it's in your purview, you can't help but notice it.
Right. And I would do that if you were talking about a car or engine or tire size or casing, but I would never do it about spelling because I don't know how to spell.
Apparently,
so I would.
Brandon Novak got into heroin, the female protagonist of a work of fiction.
Heroine.
Right. All right. See, I wouldn't know. I would just assume whoever wrote that smarter than I am in the typing and spelling department. Now, it does happen on occasion when they screw the dates up. I see something that says coming out in 2017, then I might underline that.
Adam wouldn't have noticed the heroin misspelling, Brian.
Not
that
1,000 years.
I can't help but notice it, so I know what you're talking about with Kimmel misspelling.
But the boss notices things, and I think there's either just a reflexive, hey, this is my field of expertise, and I am going to correct you by saying you don't put baseboard around the door, you put casing around the door. Part of it is it's reflexive. The other part is in the hopes that the next time you talk about doing the doors, you don't say putting baseboard around it. Although I'm not that interested. Now, I had this thing where I told my nephew to clean out the front of the thing, that John Singleton was coming over to meet with me on a Saturday, and he's a big-time director, and he's a heavy hitter, and I want the place to look good for him, and then he spaced out and never did it. Now, the thing that's funny is it's a whole new world order out there, but if you want to piss off the boss, forget about it the first time, but then in the 3 weeks past it, don't do it then either. Sure, that's the weird thing, which is you screw the pooch the first time, you're supposed to run out the second
time and
do it.
Yep,
but
yep.
So that didn't happen. So I had this thing that was, people think being right all the time is a good thing. Not really. Not when you're predicting things you don't want to happen. So I said to my nephew, I said, all right, De La Hoya and his whole crew are showing up. It's still messy out there. Get out there. Clean that place up. Do it right. Said, okay. So he went and got this push room that was brand new, got the bristles, got the stabilizer on the handle and the stuff. And I don't know, it's a $28 to $32 Home Depot item. It's a real item. And it's got the nylon bristles and everything. And it's new. And I said, yeah, go get that. Clean it out. And he did, and he started on it, and then I returned during one of my 15 podcasts, and I run back and forth from shop to shop, and I saw it sitting in the open doorway. Actually, the doorway I was trying to coax the homeless guy to sleep in.
That's a problematic doorway.
It was just leaning there by itself.
Maybe it's the doorway.
And I came in, and I said, hey, man, do not leave that out on the street that way, because a homeless guy will snatch it up. And he said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm on my break. No. Which is kind of like, all right, but people are allowed to steal stuff during your break, but okay. I might just stash it behind the wall or whatever, but all right, you're on your break, meaning I'm coming back out to handle it. And I said, okay, because there's homeless people everywhere now, and they are catfish. They just go up and down the street, and they will pick up any stuff you leave out. And he said, by the way, for people that sleep on the ground, you rarely see them with a broom. That would be my number one weapon of choice if I was homeless, because if I'm going to sleep on the ground, my thing is like, let's give it a nice dusting off first.
Clear the area.
There's some rat shit and some cobwebs here. I'm going to take care of that.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to lay my head down and take a little nap.
The nice clean ground.
And I'm in a world, you're living in a world where you push around shopping carts filled with everything. Might as well toss a nice room in there. Nice shop room. Anyway, I said, okay, well, you're on your break, but all right. Good, because I don't want a homeless guy to rip off my my push broom.
Well, the push broom was, I'm assuming, just outside the door on that little landing on his break,
but not our front door, the other door where I wanted the guy to go sleep. There's two doors
outside the door is my point. That's a bad answer, is what I'm getting at, because whether it's the difference between being outside the door and just inside the door is 18 inches, 2 feet, and it's Unless I'm
I like where your head's at.
Because yeah,
I like where your head's at.
Minimal effort,
that door, that door's sort of locked off. Now, still doesn't mean you can't walk it in or walk it around.
Presumably, on your break, you walked inside.
He may have come in through a vent hole in the roof, but yes, theoretically, he did.
Subterranean.
Yes, chances are he walked in. And yes, one could have walked in with it and leaned it, but...
But why?
But why? Okay. So I went, okay. And then I left, and then I went and did another podcast, and then I did Kimmel, and then I sped from Kimmel's to back to the shop to do De La Hoya's show. Parked my car, walked out of my car to see the broom leaning against the wall in the front of the shop, which I just took a picture of. And
homeless guy didn't take it, Adam.
No, but it was funny that I said move it because homeless guy, and then an hour later I tripped over a homeless guy who was leaning by.
Wait, which one was I supposed to move, the homeless guy or the broom?
The thing, and I just thought, I don't know what is going on in the world anymore, but... And I don't know how to be more eloquent other than you must stop fucking up or I will fire your ass because you have to do what I tell you to do. Now, it'd be nice if you just did it anyway, but if I mention it, then you really have to do it. It's funny because it moved about 3 feet to the left, but a little closer to the curb. And there it was for the rest. Well, then everyone left and that's where it was that night when I got there. Also realize, too, with the boss, there will be a confluence of events that do not work for you.
Yeah.
The number of times I do Kimmel and then go back to the warehouse at night, that's one in a thousand. Once I'm done, I'm done, especially if I go over the hill, do work over the hill. Almost never come back. Number one. Influence, confluence of events. Mm-hmm. Number two, rarely show up to do this podcast before everyone shows up at the other shop or I just come directly here. This is a confluence of events where A, I had to come back that night and spot it. And then B, I had to show up the next morning before you got there and see it where you were late. So these are things that are kind of low percentage. But they do happen a lot.
And when they do.
Weird little perfect storms of like, you go like, well, the boss said not to smoke in here, but he's not here.
He's
and I'm just
going
to set the cigarette down for a minute and walk out and take a piss and come back. And the boss will be standing there. And you're like, I thought you were in Maui. It's like the flight was canceled. Yep. Like, there is a lot of that. Don't leave it up to just sort of weird spin of the wheel chance. Because you'd be surprised. How often there's these little windows and the boss comes walking up right in the middle of that little window. Yeah. All right, anyway. We shall see.
How did it shake out?
Yeah.
I heard that ended with yelling.
I just said stop fucking up and start doing what I'm telling you to do or I will fire your ass.
What was his response?
Okay.
I'm on my break.
Can we talk about this in five when I come back in?
He's not a bad person. It's just this is the new wave. This is what we're dealing with. This is the new world order when it comes to like young dudes. This is their world. I don't know how this became their world, but we foisted this on them. We grew up with the self-esteem movement. Hey, people don't tell you what to do. Nobody else is like... If you feel really good about yourself and no one else is just like you and you do what you do and you dance to the beat of your own, why the fuck should you do what this guy's telling you what to do? Every single message we sent to everyone under 30 is you do you, man. So what part of you do you is old guy in shorts yells at you to do something?
That's not you doing you.
That is not you doing you. We're not helping these young people. Somebody has to put their finger in their chest and go, start doing me when you're here.
Oh, boy.
From behind.
And you know what else it further confuses them? If, say you're a lax boss and, you know, whatever, okay, this person fucks up all the time, but what are you going to do? They don't really get it. They don't know that they're doing anything wrong. But when it's time to give them a recommendation, when it's time to hire them again for the next project, they can't figure out why they're the only one who didn't get asked.
Right.
And I have had people come to me more than once going, what the fuck? How did you get on it? I'm like, I wasn't an asshole. I don't know, man.
Right. And now listen, he's a good kid, and I'm trying to get him to snap out of it.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
She's the best. All right, so I'll keep you guys posted.
Please.
It's not going well.
Broom watch.
Broom gate. Brian loves a gate.
I know. Look. Obviously, it has nothing to do with planters or brooms. It has everything to do with, here's what I'm specifically telling you to do. Simply do it. And as I've said to him and anyone who'll listen, feel free to write shit down. If this super obvious stuff I'm telling you seems a little vexing, then just write
You'll
it down.
You'll never be faulted for writing things down.
There's so many people that go, I don't need to write stuff down. Oh, evidently, you do need to write things down because there's a lot that's getting through. Write it down. There's no shame in that. I drown in Buck's lips of notes of things that I write down all day long because I don't want things to fall through the cracks. It's easy. Write it down. All right. Our guest is here. I got to tell you guys about Castrol Edge. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. The pressure is as much as five cars resting on one high heel. It is pressure in there. Small displacement, lots of superchargers and turbochargers, Castrol Edge. They've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. Find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior, and you can see for yourself. Castrol Edge can deliver, even under the most demanding circumstances, full synthetic three times better than the leading full synthetic. And that's full synthetic. That's not dinosaur juice or mixed or blended. And you can check out the video. It's free. Castrol USA YouTube page. Castrol USA YouTube page. Check out that video. All right. Us, Pasadena Ice House, August 29th. We've got a live podcast over there with Dr. Drew. Then it's off to Seattle to the historic Moore Theater, September 13th. Live up on stage with Adam Ray doing a live pod, and then it's off to Cruise after that. Phoenix Stand Up Live, October 6th. Basic Cable Commentary, two shows, me and Mike Goggis on stage where we belong.
Co-headlining gig.
Breaking down the game film. Anaheim Grove in Anaheim, November 30th. We'll do a live podcast there. And all that. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all that. And the new merch and the swag and everything like that, too. We'll talk to Brandon Novak. He's one of the guys from Jackass. Has a uplifting and amazing story of overcoming trials and tribulations. We'll talk to him right after the break in Good Sports. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6 minute intervals, exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. With Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This is based off the 2003 MXPX classic, Quit Your Life.
Doesn't get it.
I've missed a few episodes, no excuse for my absence. So many things I love about the show, more than Shaq could list. let's cha-cha and cherish memories.
Hi and hello, sports fans, and welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Podcast One Sports on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there, and the guy you just heard in your ear, of course, the incomparable Loxie. Who named a band after himself. That's how impressed with himself he is. A little song that he performed on the Daves of Thunder episode that just became available to you on Apple Podcasts and at Podcast One. Make sure you check it out, why don't you? Ace, how are we?
Why would a guy named Max Zapata call his band Loxie?
It's very confusing. Big fan of kosher brunch items.
Really?
I think
so.
That's my
people.
Guess.
Interesting.
He doesn't look like one of my people, but perhaps he is in spirit at least.
Let me say this about the Jews and fish.
Okay.
Fish, like for me in my whole childhood, but now even as an adult, although I've learned to appreciate it more, fish has a pecking order for me. Like when you're talking about protein, you're talking about animal-based protein, you go, well, what's at the top of the food chain? Well, ribs. I mean, I love ribs. Well, beef or pork or spare, whatever. It's like, I like them all, but ribs, you know, and then you get into brisket and different types of beef flavored stuff. And then at some point it dropped down into chicken. And at some point pork's in the mix, different forms. Cause you know, bacon will be above this, but maybe a pork loin might be below something, fried chicken or something like that. Get to fish. Fish comes down toward the bottom. I got to get through shrimp and lobster and stuff. I eventually get to fish. Nothing wrong with fish. Just the number of times I've gone to a steak joint or any joint and like ordered fish, you could count.
I think those people are weirdos. Why are you going to a steakhouse and getting that?
They're the people. There's a guy I get behind at Carney's, the hot dog joint where I'm going to get a Chicagoan and a chili cheese. He's like, I have the taco salad. And the poor bitch behind the counter is like,
really?
Yeah, I know shit. She's like, I don't even, is that on the, why do we have that?
That's just like, a dummy like, item. Oh, we don't actually.
Then you hear them like go back and they're like, Shelly, somebody ordered taco salad. Oh, fuck. What do we got to do? Go to the caboose cart. I think we keep the shit for the taco salad. And then they come back and they're like, and they're fucking up the whole line because they have a whole mechanized hot dog thing. Hot dog comes out of the steamer. It's on a bun, slide over that guy. That guy hits it with the deli mustard. They slide it over it and they wrap it up. You ask for the taco salad.
Don't be the jerk, by the way, at a bar either, in a crowded bar. Give me the frozen margarita or the mojito. We don't have time for that. Get a beer or a shot. That's it.
Right.
It's the same thing, too, at the delis, the kosher delis, they offer Chinese food and Mexican food at all the L.A. delis. If you look at the menu, what are you doing? That's not your thing. I didn't come here for that.
Yeah, you want the fucking pot stickers, you go across the street. We're here to get some pastrami. But the Jews, back to the fish, the Jews, so fish is not my favorite, but cold gelatinous fish, that's where the Jews take the fish. Fish is like, hey, you know how to make fish even worse? Like, how? Pickle it or make it gelatinous or make it cold. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with lox, but it is a weird, it's almost self-hatred to take fish and to chill fish and wait till it congeals and then spread it on something or eat it.
I hear you. Definitely. I grew up eating gefilte fish at my father's side of the family at the Jewish gatherings, and I loved it at the time, which I can't fathom now. Also, a popular item in my father's parents' house, tongue. Literal tongue.
I know.
And we thought it was hysterical. My cousins and I would eat it because like it was like a bit or something. But what grown-up chooses to eat ingest the tongue of another beast?
It's a tongue sandwich. My Jewish grandpa used to make it. Ugh. And they must have, first off, he would go.
How hungry do you have to be?
Well, as a young Adam Carolla, I was pretty hungry, and we didn't have a lot in the cooking department at Mama's house. I had like whole wheat spaghetti with, you know, red sauce with no salt in it. Like, you have no idea how bad that mushy pile of shit was. I blame Billy
Jack. I can guess.
My grandfather is funny because he would go to the Lucky's supermarket on Laurel Canyon and Magnolia, and that was kind of the low discount. Like, the pecking order of supermarkets was, at the top of the food chain was the Gelson's. This is before like Sprouts and Whole Foods. Like, Gelson's was the top of the top. I used to go to Gelson's. Now, we didn't shop at Gelson's because Gelson's was too expensive. Gelson's did have a deli counter in the back. Part of my earliest scams is going to the deli counter in the back, getting a whole turkey drumstick, and you didn't have to pay for it there. You paid for it at the front. So now...
Well, I don't know what happened to that drumstick on the way to the front of the store, sir.
That's right. I would steal it or eat it in the store between the front and the back of the... You can't give Adam savory between front and back. You give me hamburger meat, I wouldn't eat it, but you can't give me a savory drumstick. I remember eating it in the alley behind the Gelson's once. But anyway,
sad.
I should hate my parents even more. But anyway.
Admirable, but also sad.
Gelson's was number one on the food chain. Next would be a Ralph's or an Albertsons. Next would be Lucky's fighting it out for a bronze with Alpha Beta. Those are the two shitty ones. So we go to the Lucky's ones.
Ironic name.
Yeah, ironically. There was Safeway was like somewhere in second place or whatever. But my grandfather would go to the Lucky's supermarket in North Hollywood and go to the counter and ask for tongue.
Ugh.
Not only
on purpose.
On purpose, but he had to be like, they must have had some weird like alert, like, hey, we got a Jew in here. Like there were no Jews anywhere. He was the only Jew in North Hollywood, and he was asking for tongue at the Lucky supermarket.
It is weird the tricks that your brain plays on you, that for some reason, apparently, I'm guessing your grandfather, it was nostalgic for him, because you wouldn't choose, like you say, you would give me some nice sliced ham. Why would you wouldn't take tongue if there were any other options for you?
My grandfather had this great lament, which is he wanted stuffed goose liver. He wanted all the stuff from his childhood.
Like, yeah, right.
And he wanted all the parts and pieces that you could get. He was insane that he would go to Hungary once a year to go to Budapest. And every time he'd come home with a pillowcase of paprika. Like, literally, like he was going to Bolivia and getting some shale. Because in his world, he needed the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And the good stuff, it wasn't this sort of
high-end
world
paprika
market anymore. Like my grandfather was limited by what they had on the shelf at the Lucky's supermarket in North Hollywood. He couldn't do no better than that. He's not like, well, I'm going to Amazon and getting some good stuff sent in from Chef So-and-so.
That makes sense, right?
It was only, he had a bicycle. He had a bicycle with a basket on it. Later on, the three-wheel bike after he fell over in his bike. I missed the three-wheel bike. Remember the old-timers walking around, trotting around on that three-wheel bike? He had a bicycle, and that was his range. And so if there's no good paprika, or paprika, as he would call it, within cycling range of his house in North Hollywood, then he was forced to schlep it back from Hungary.
I got to go to the old country. Got to get some spices.
Simpler times. You'd imagine like that. Like, imagine now, like, my kids going, oh, we're going to Stuttgart. Oh, bring nutmeg. I'm going to Scandinavia. That's cumin country. All right, let me tell you about True Car. See the alliteration with cumin and country?
Very nice.
True Car, man. Tips you might not know. Coffee filter is good for, I'll tell you a coffee tip. You can use if you run out of coffee filters, you can use a paper towel. Say that. Get rid of the excess weight in that car.
I've done it.
Put some air in your tires, man. You ever ride a bike with low tire pressure? You ever ride like Grandpa Lotsy riding his bike? Mm-hmm. How much you have to labor to ride that bike?
Much harder for some reason.
What do you think your car is doing with those low tires? And how's that helping the gas mileage, man? Here's another tip. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. You enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. Enjoy faster buying experience. Connect with True Car certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, you check out True Car. Enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, let's bring it home.
Let's bring it home, indeed. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out. Good
Sports! Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save